from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rodden.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice, juicy little Thursday. It is Rop and Souk. Isachi launching my luxury brand here at PXYZ.
Believe me, there's a buzz amongst the conference crowd here about the Isachi line. I mean, you had your own panel today, for God's sakes.
That's right.
With a poster.
That's right.
Can we update your headshot, though?
Yeah. I think we all need updated headshots.
Yeah.
If you had a poster, I think you would probably be horrified as to what picture they would put on there. But, this is we're over here at the field office, which is in Northwest Portland. It's right across the train tracks from our studio.
Sure. Not that you know where that's at, but trust us.
It's what they call the early stage South by Southwest. It's a conference, but kind of a cool, laid-back vibe with drinks.
You can tell that it's laid-back because there's tree rounds for seats and moss on the wall. It's one of those.
Yes.
And, of course, now if you have, like, a cool building, you can't have a ceiling. Everything, all the ductwork and everything has to be exposed.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's the key to everything.
It's industrial.
Yes.
It's creative.
Creates feng shui and positive vibes for you to think about, like, moving and shaking entrepreneurial type moves.
This is a cool space, but it's like all these other spaces in downtown Portland or in these areas that don't have any tenants.
No.
So they move in here for 3 days. It's a conference. It brings in a bunch of movers and shakers from around the country, industry titans. Neil Everett is here. Nico Harrison, who is the general manager of the Mavericks, he's here. Heather Davis, Timber CEO, the Voodoo Donuts guy, Chris Schultz, he spoke earlier. Big Souk is here. We had a panel earlier today on sports fans and branding. It was very exciting.
I was not allowed to it, but I heard great things about it.
Well, what ended up becoming the main topic at the end was women's sports.
Yeah,
well, and Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin Clark certainly is the kind of catalyst right now for the big push. But
Caitlin Clark is white.
We've been doing this for 20 years, and I will say that if you had to look back over the 20 years and say, what has grown in sports more than anything else? Certainly soccer has. I mean, because the NFL was always huge. I don't know if you can make the argument that the NBA over the since Jordan really grew. I mean, sports in general have grown, but I don't think the NBA has grown leaps and bounds of popularity. It's been popular. Major League Baseball, no. So I would say soccer certainly made a push, but I think women's sports, if I had to pick one thing over the 20 years we've been doing this that has seen the most growth, because women's sports at one point was beyond irrelevant, and it's just not anymore. It's having a moment, and it's been a slow climb, but you know, everything from the women's soccer team all those years ago with the Brandi Chastain to Serena Williams certainly pushed that along. I mean, let's be honest, for the last 15 plus years, really 20, the WNBA was viewed as a joke. And by the way, still loses money, but it's got a new TV deal. They've got they have legitimate stars now. I mean, they're expanding. I mean, it's and women's gymnastics in the Olympics is probably the most popular Olympic sport. So I mean, it's like I said, they're having their moment.
And yeah, we talked about, you know, what helps them a lot. A lot of women in sports are doing a great job at this, and men too. But female athletes, social media.
Like, girl, you something else.
If you think about this rugby, who's this rugby player? Maher or whatever, the U.S.?
Mar, yeah.
Mar, the rugby player?
Alona Mar.
She basically told her story on social media. It's not a story that would have been told by the traditional media.
No.
So she told it on her, she gained followers and was fun on social media, TikTok and that. And she told her story there. And now she's a sensation because of the Olympics. And I just think more and more women, female athletes, are doing a good job of getting their stories out there with social media that is helping push this along too. But Caitlin Clark, I mean, I use the Andy Dufresne sort of analogy where you know, for years, a lot of women, including Sabrina Ionescu, that's why it came up.
Yeah.
Have been chipping away every day at that hole in the wall to try to escape, right? To try to bust out.
Yeah.
It wasn't just Caitlin. It wasn't nothing and then Caitlin Clark.
Yes.
It was years of women in sports. You mentioned the Williams and go on down the line that led to the Caitlin Clark moment. And then every once in a while you get a transcendent person and talent like Caitlin Clark. And all of a sudden you're through the wall and you're escaped.
Yep.
And the cat's out of the bag. And that's kind of where we're at. And you're right. I mean, the only thing that would be comparable to women's sports growth over the time you and I have been doing this is probably, like you said, U.S. soccer.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's close to women's sports.
No. I mean, it's just it'll be interesting to see where it goes. You know, there were a lot of people that always said, you know, it's going to take time and it's going to take investment. And I don't know if you'll ever get to the point where we're on par or anywhere close to it. And by the way, I don't think you have to in order to I don't know, appreciate or I don't know, give women's sports its due, but it will be interesting to see where this goes. You know, are they having, like you said, the breakthrough moment and the climb keeps happening, or is there a leveling off? I don't know. But like what you're seeing over these last handful of years and some of the stars that are being created, it's an exciting time for women's sports, and people are investing in it. You're seeing more and more people that are dumping money into it, and you're seeing franchise values go up, and you're seeing a lot of big mover and shakers that are dumping money into it.
Okay, I do think we're going to have a special guest here in a moment.
Okay.
At PDXYZ. As we mentioned, movers and shakers.
Yes.
And we will ask this man if he is a mover or a shaker. Perhaps he's both.
Possibly both.
I don't know.
I neither move or shake. I'm more of a stationary land animal. Think like the manatee of the land. But, you know, this is indeed mover and shaking time.
All right, so we are moving and shaking here. So we're going to go ahead and put him on now. Because, you know, we don't like to make important men wait.
No.
And we will do the Hot 5 at 5 in our next seggy. Jakey Babes, where are we putting this gentleman? Okay. All right.
He gets the stump.
He gets to sit on the.
Well, that's classy,
okay,
right
is
there.
Is there a microphone or what is, do we? Okay.
This is a Swiss watch here.
Let me do some producing, sir. I'll be right with you.
This is
we're
fantastic.
Not live or anything.
No, not at all.
All right.
You'd think that possibly we had something, you know, set up that we would know was coming.
Think.
But we do not.
Let's plug this in.
This is how amazing that Asahi is. You're in there leading conferences.
Right.
You're building brands and you're setting up
testing.
Mic check. Sibilance.
I think it works. We'll give those to you, sir. Thank you. We have a very special guest on the program. As we mentioned, movers and shakers.
Yes.
This is former Duck and former NFL star Alex Molden,
yes,
from PDXYZ. What is up?
What's going on? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Can you hear us okay in that headset there?
I cannot hear you.
Oh, you can't? Okay, here, How about a little bit of that?
No.
Okay, can you hear us talking since we're so close to you?
I can hear you talking.
There you go. Yeah. Then we'll just go
we'll just do that.
Cool. That's cool.
Sorry about that. Now, you, 1994, Pac-10 title.
Yep.
1995, Rose Bowl. Right.
Yep. Yep. That's right.
That was kind of the start. I wouldn't say the start because the program had been along. That was the start of the rise of Oregon football.
I would say so. I would think so.
Because I was coming out of high school in '96.
Oh man!
And I remember the recruitment and all that. And I always talk about that, like, Oregon was that program that people were starting to talk about. The indoor facility was the only one of its kind on the West Coast. It was, you were starting to see the foundation of Oregon starting to do things differently than the rest of the conference.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, it starts with the type of players that you get, right? We start to get better athletes. And, you know, where before they would just get athletes from the West Coast, from California, from Washington, from Oregon. But I think, you know, with their rise and it started to be on TV more, you started to get more cats like myself from in the Midwest, from Colorado, from Texas, you know, to start to look at the Oregon Ducks and say, man, I can see myself playing there. And then along with the facilities, right, because, you know, back in the day, they just opened up the Casanova Center, which was the biggest weight room in the Pac-10. Yeah. And I was like, well, that's where I'm going to live. They got a new weight room. Yeah. I'm all in.
People don't realize, again, we're kind of in that same era, just a few years older than me, people don't understand how bad some of the facilities, even at places like Washington, that they, if you saw by today's standards what was commonplace at USC, at UW, certainly at Oregon State, Washington State, they were dreadful. I ended up at BYU, embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And Oregon was the first of its kind on the West Coast that spent money on that, and it sounds like that was one of the things that attracted you.
Absolutely. It was an investment that they made. Yeah. And before I got there, their strength and conditioning facility was underneath the stadium.
Yeah.
And so it was like in a little closet, dark room, you know, it just wasn't.
And Washington, look at it now. Washington State's
had some weird two-prong one where it was like you literally climbed a ladder to get to the second floor.
Is that right?
It was in Bowler Gym, and it was so small that there was like, you could take like a ladder up to the second floor because not everything fit on one floor.
Wow.
And that was there all through the 90s.
Oh, that's crazy.
Could you have envisioned what Oregon has become now? Now they're in the Big Ten.
They're the Big Ten.
It's so weird.
It's very weird.
Are you now Big Ten legend?
You know what? I would like that. That's pretty dope. Well,
Katie Ledecky, the U.S. swimmer.
Yes.
The ACC put up a thing on like the ACC network or whatever, like promoting her as one of their own. And I think she went to Stanford.
That's right.
But they're
I'm with
Stanford's
it.
Now in the ACC. So Katie Ledecky is now ACC great.
So you're telling me I'm gonna be a legend in the Pac-10 and the Big Ten?
And the Big
yes.
Ten.
You are Big Ten legend.
Let's go. I like you guys.
So what are you're a motivational speaker now?
Inspirational speech speaker. I speak on leadership. I put it like this. Like once I learn exactly what leadership is, which is influence, right? And you influence people by a number of different things, right? Your relationships, the way that you speak, right? Your character, your ability, your success, also your failures. Mm-hmm. Right? So there's 10 different influencers that I speak on, and I speak from something that I know a lot about. That's my life, right? And so playing in college, playing in the NFL, doing something that only 3% of NFL players do, play 8 years or more, and I've seen these different things of influence. And so I took that, and then I started to look at my own life outside of football and start to see, like, how do I influence my children, right? Me and my wife, we have 8 kids. One of them is in the NFL.
Titans, right?
Right, yeah, that's right. And so it's like, okay, how do we influence if it's foundational, right? So meaning I can talk about leadership on the football field, in the corporate, corporate boardroom, I can talk to it at Starbucks or wherever, then that's foundational. Mm. And so that's what I teach other leaders, because it's not something that's taught, right? Because when you're in the corporate world, you're there for a number of years and then you just move up this corporate ladder and you have more responsibilities of leading others, but they're not really taught how to lead.
100%.
They come, you know, different styles of leadership, but not exactly what leadership is.
Yeah, this is Alex Molden. It's interesting. Were you always a leader? Did you get that in football? Were you that in football? Or is this something you have cultivated after football?
It's something I cultivated afterwards. I would say to a certain point, right, because in sports, what happens is the kid who has the most ability or who's the fastest, they're the leader. They're the captain, yeah. Right? But what if that kid who has all this ability, what if he's a jerk to other teammates or his opponent? What if he doesn't talk, right? I was that guy. Like, I wasn't the big talker. Like, most guys in the locker room, you know who's the leaders are, who the leaders are just by how they talk. I wasn't like that. And until, like, my junior year at Oregon, where I started to, like, understand, okay, now because of my success, there's more eyes looking at me and how I go about my business. Man, there's more people looking at me and following me because they want what I have, that success. Mm-hmm. So then I started to kind of learn a little bit about leadership, you know, starting my junior year at Oregon. And then I started to really look at it a little bit deeper when I finished playing or in the NFL, but then even more when I finished playing. And I was like, man, there's a lot of folks that really don't know what this leadership is. They put styles on it and say that I'm this type of style, I'm this type of style, right? And it's like that still misses the point. You got to understand exactly what it is because you got to be intentional with it, right?
So true. Yeah. It's so true. We don't tell enough, particularly young people, we don't tell them that they're leaders, right? If you just, because you could, a young person or a team member or some, you know, my son, whatever, could exhibit leadership qualities. But they don't know that they're a leader. They don't know that people are looking at them differently than they're watching the other kids or whatever. We have to do a better job of telling people, hey, you're a leader.
Yeah.
And then once you know that, then that's when it becomes intentional. It's like, oh, I am, and I realize that, and now I can learn different yeah. ways to do it better.
Yeah, and then it's all about like, so now, because I know what helped me have success playing football was I practiced. Right. And you practice something intentionally because you can tell it, man, you need to be a better leader. But what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Well, this is where it shows up. And so I use my phone. I use the Internet to show my kids, especially my one, you know, the one who's going to be a sophomore in high school. He's a great athlete. But I show him different things from Twitter or X. And I saw, is that leadership? Mm-hmm. Tell me more about that. Because this one guy, he says something in a fit of anger to a media folks, and then the next day he's apologizing. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Did he make a decision based off of emotions? Because intuition is the most powerful influencer when it comes to leading. And so you got to be aware of these things.
Yeah, I've never thought about that once. And all the time that you put in becoming an athlete.
Yeah.
I've never once thought about learning to be a leader. I get every team that I was on just always had someone. There's, you know, in a room
probably
full,
the best athlete.
Yeah, and in a room full, it's funny. You walk into a locker room, whether it's college, the NFL, and you're a room full of men, and usually alpha men.
Yep.
There's still one or two that are different, and it's funny. People just know.
Yeah.
And you are so right, and that they're not always the best people. But there's naturally, you know, and I don't know exactly. Sometimes it is just simply just being the best player or the, you know, the quarterback. But yeah, it's I've never given any thought about how do you become a better version of that, because I've just have always been around. I don't know. That's the guy. And the way he sets the tone in the locker room. He sets the tone on the field. And you're right. It's not always the best tone.
Ain't always the best tone. And that's how you can change a culture.
Yeah.
Change it to be negative mm-hmm. or positive. Yeah. And there's two different types of leadership, right? There's positional leadership, which, you know, a quarterback. That's a position of leadership, a linebacker, the point guard, or maybe the CEO at a company, right? They're in a position of leadership, but that's not the best. That's just a position. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad, he's my dad. He's in a position of leadership, but we didn't have the greatest relationship. I was scared to death of him. You know what I'm saying? He's a drill sergeant. Mm-hmm. And so when I started to look at, man, relationships, all the people who was in leadership positions, the ones that I really looked up to, what type of relationship did they have with me and others around me? Man, they got to know us. They got to know, like, what we was good at. They get feedback in a positive way. They made us feel, you know, like, accepted. They made us feel valuable. So it's not just position, right? It's not just about the position, but it's about the relationship.
Who were the guys that you learned that from?
Man, best coach I ever had, his name is Willie Shaw. David Shaw's father used to coach the Stanford Cardinal, right?
One of my favorite people we've ever covered.
David Shaw was a great
David Shaw was amazing.
David Shaw, right? Yeah. So his dad was one of the persons who really started to lean on me and push me. He only coached me for 1 year, and he gave me such valuable information that was foundational, meaning once I stopped playing football, I still used those same things that he coached us on to help me become a better father, become a better husband, become a better leader, and wherever I went. So I learned different things from him. That's number one. Another great leader was Junior Seau. Mm. Because the thing that we coach on is, remember, the practice, right? Practice is, intentional practice is the most important thing you can do to help you become better at whatever.
At
right?
anything.
And so how he practiced, the thing about him, along with Jerry Rice, because I got a chance to work with him in the offseason, my rookie year, for 6 months straight. But the difference between him, Junior Seau, and Drew Brees, LaDainian Tomlinson, is you didn't know if it was March and we at this, you know, we have a spring practice, right, mini camp, or if it was we making a push in the playoffs. The practice looked exactly the same. There was no like letdown because we're playing this team that's not good, or you know we're in preseason, we're not going serious. It's just tone it down. No, those guys, it was intense from here to here. It looked exactly the same, and so I started to learn more about like how important practicing who you want to be. I learned it from those guys. And I said, man, if that's foundational, I can take that in any environment.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, brings us back to PDXYZ.
That's right.
You're talking to hundreds of people up there, and it's a great message to disseminate. I wonder, and by the way, this is Alex Molden, former Duck, NFL. I wonder how you tailor that. You said you have kids, but the new generation.
Yeah.
They think differently. They're different. They have a different world than when you and I grew up.
Yeah.
So how do you tailor your leadership message to what to them and what they think and how they feel?
Yeah. I think with them, they are influenced differently than we were back in the day. You know, looking at them and what really moves them and pushes them is this, you know, my phone is in my pocket, but it's that. You know, they spend a lot of time on the phone, and it's not really face to face. So they're not really too much concerned about relationships right now. And you want to be, I much rather be intentional with creating relationships now when I don't need them. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a time, and it happens to athletes all the time. Right. They have these opportunities to create these relationships. These relationships are handed to them, or they're available to them, where, you know, you and I, they won't pick up the phone. But these collegiate and pro athletes, man, they can make a phone call. They can have the CEO or the president of this, whatever. They'll pick up the phone just to create, you know, just to talk. And so, but when they're done, right, when they're done playing, that window closes. Mm-hmm. Not too many people are going to pick in those high places are going to pick up the phone.
Right.
So it's like teaching them, like, man, hey, you got to know who you are. That's number one. You got to know your own character, which is a huge influencer, who you are. And then understand relationships. And it's better to, you know, to start them early when you don't need them, where you just get to get to know people, man, how they function, how they work, what made them have success. You know what I'm saying? Like, get to know them on that level, man. Then they're more likely to keep that relationship when you might need them down the road.
How much further ahead is Elijah than you were at this point? Like, wait, is he 2 years into the NFL now?
This is fourth.
This is fourth?
Yeah.
Gosh, yeah, 4 years. God, it goes by fast.
It does.
How much further ahead was he as kind of, I don't know, just savvier all this stuff versus you? Because you guys kind of went the same path, although, you know, UW.
I know.
That hurt just a bit?
A little bit.
Just a bit.
Yeah. Right. Well, it all depends what you're talking about. Like, on a personal, like, how he makes decisions is so much better than me.
I was going to say, it sounds like, I mean, you, the wisdom that you're able to give him, you know, having gone through college, NFL, all these lessons you've learned, you were able to pass down to him at a much younger age when you kind of had to figure this out on your own.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was like, you know, when he started to show an interest in football, so I knew that that was his, that was the carrot. Yeah. But I never wanted to, it was never about chasing the dream of playing in the NFL. It was more like, how can I use this thing that he has with his athleticism, the want to, the drive, how can I first use this to help him become a better person? So I started to like challenge him. And when he did things that didn't align with how me and my wife parent, I would check him on it right away. And I would threaten to take football away from him or any other sport because he was a good athlete, period. So I started to use that as a tool to really get what I want. I want him to be a well-adjusted young man when he stops playing sports.
Right.
I want him to be able to overcome setbacks and failure, right? And that's not really taught. So I would use these different things that happen in sports. You know, you get beat for a touchdown, you lose a game, your girlfriend dumps you, you skin up your knee, and I would just watch him and, you know, let him use the things that we've taught him to make his, you know, to go about the decision and live with it. And then I would give like, hey, so why did you make that decision? What
Talk
did you see?
It. Yeah, after the fact.
Yeah. What did you see?
Yeah.
How do you think that can, could you have done that a little bit better? I don't know. So for me, it's not about him, you know, doing this thing because what he does is not who he is. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I got trapped in that. I thought football player, I was going to be a football player forever. And when it stopped, I was lost. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know what type of impact I had. I didn't know what I liked. I liked playing golf. Yeah. And I liked my love, my family. Other than that was it.
Yeah.
And the structure's all gone.
Yes.
You know, you spent 20 years of your life having everything laid out. And I know a lot of guys that when they get done playing, that's one of the hardest things is, what do? I wake up and I don't have anywhere to go. You have no more purpose.
Yeah. Yeah,
your whole life, everyone has said, you are a football player. You even get introduced. I remember growing up, it was a weird thing to me, but I realized one day that no matter who introduces me, parents, and I know they're doing it out of love, but it was always, this is Jason, this is my son, he's a football player.
Yeah.
And it's weird when that's all you've been introduced as your whole life, and then you realize one day that's not your identity anymore, and it's tough.
Well, here's the thing, because it's a platform, right? It's what your platform is, what you do. So, you know, for many times, and, you know, it happened tomorrow when I, you know, when I go and speak, it's going to happen. Hey, you know, former NFL.
Yeah.
Player, and it's like, okay, cool. Yeah. Long as I get to use it how I want to.
Right.
That's not, you know, but you can introduce me like that if it elevates me.
Yeah.
And it gets me like, oh, people looking at me differently in a positive way. Then, yeah. But, you know, it can't just be like.
It can't define you.
Yes, it can't define you.
Well, what if they say Big Ten legend Alex Mulder?
They can use that. Like Big Ten, and, as long as it
and
Pac-10.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Well, hey, it was a great lesson on
Absolutely.
Leadership there. Great talk.
Yeah.
And where are you living now? Are you?
I'm in West Lynn.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah, I'm around, man. Okay. I'm around playing a little golf, coaching clients. And,
good deal.
Doing my speaking.
Yeah.
Wrote a book.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
what's it called?
Yeah.
Give that a little plug.
Oh, I love it. Well, it's called the ultimate Playbook for High Achievement.
Okay.
And so it talks about leadership, and it's for not just athletes. You know, it's for all people who really want to understand, like, what is leadership? How do you use it? How do you practice it? And, you know, there's a little Q&A, Q&A section after each chapter. You know, I want to give insights.
Yeah, very cool. Well, it's a great message.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Keep spreading it. Alex Mulder, I have to call you former Duck. NFL.
That's cool. You
know,
can do that.
You know, yeah. And Big Ten legend joining us. Thank you
Father
very much.
Father to a Washington Husky.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got to take that dig. I remember when he committed, I was like, ooh.
I was like,
that hurts. I was like, that's got to hurt a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Did you push him at all to Oregon? towards Oregon?
Man, I was trying to. honestly, not everybody know this, but the dude is like, he was 4.0 student. Yeah. I want him to go to Stanford.
Yeah.
I mean, I want him to go to Stanford. Yeah. Oregon, I knew at the time it wasn't the right fit for him and what he wanted. It comes down to culture. Washington had the culture with Coach Peterson.
Yeah.
You know, I know him. I know what type of man he is.
Great.
So it was the right fit at the time.
Who was the Oregon coach at that time then? That would have been
Helfrich.
Oh, he was Helfrich.
I was like, I told him, I said, look, if you choose Oregon, that's great.
You're not going to be here.
Don't choose it from that coach because he ain't going to be here.
But now Oregon would get him no problem because they just dropped that bag on the table with the NIL. They're not losing
among
to Washington.
Other things, they got facilities. They're winning. They got, you know, that coach ain't going nowhere. Hope, fingers crossed.
That's
you know, right?
That's true. They got a good thing going.
Yeah, they do got a good thing on. Yeah.
All right. Great to talk to you. Thank you.
Great talking to you guys, too. I appreciate it.
The legend, Alex Molden. We're back with the Hot 5 at 5 next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
All right, we're back. We've lost Asachi. We're out here at the PDXYZ, and we've gone extremely long. Buck, how far off the clock are we exactly?
A full segment.
A full segment?
A full break. Okay. So now we need to fit three segments into the last half hour here, which we're already 4 minutes behind on.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do then. Since, you know, the other day we were going to set a record for the Hot 5 at 5 at
like 5:14. Yeah, this is the new record.
This is the new record at 5:34. So as we try to make our way back, and here comes Asachi, why don't we...
go ahead and start it?
Why don't we... he's sitting down now.
Hello.
Do we want to squeeze in the Hot 5 at 5 now, or do we want to get to a break and then try to come back and get back on the clock?
Look, I hate to to throw away a segment, but we do it all the time.
We do it all the time.
Let's do it again.
Yeah, Molden was great, by the way.
He was fantastic.
Really, really enjoyed that conversation, which is why we weren't really long. So why don't we take a break now?
Yes.
And when we come back, we'll do the hot five at 5:40.
Yes!
And then we'll try to get back on some semblance of a clock.
Yes!
How about that?
You don't even need me. I'm going to go to the bathroom again.
All right. We'll be back live from PDXYZ.
Buck.
I think, Buck, we got a Sports Center, right?
That's correct. We do.
There we go. Here we go. Hit Buck it. With Sports Center.
Hit it, big fella. All right, we're back in PDXYZ, where we've been thrown off schedule because Alex Molden sat down. It was a cool conversation.
Yeah.
So
it did. It got me thinking. There was some stuff in there. I was kind of like, oh.
Well, yeah, there's a lot there. I mean, I really think, like I told him, I don't think we tell young people enough that they're leaders when they are, when they exhibit leadership qualities.
Yeah.
I think we have to tell them, hey, you're a leader, and here's what that means, and here's what you do that other people are seeing that you may not know, and then that will lead them down the path of exploring things like Alex's book or Alex's speech understand better how they can harness it.
I mean, I thought about it because, you know, he had said, obviously, like, a lot of times if you're the best player on the team, you naturally end up being a leader. And for a lot of my life, I was the best player on the team, but you've been around me long enough, I am not a great leader. I don't want to be a leader. I don't do great necessarily in leadership type of things. And so I think it was something that I struggled with a lot of my life is, you know, when you're good at things and you kind of naturally end up in that thing, but no one ever taught me how to be a leader, and naturally it's not my thing. I tend to kind of do my own.
You never know.
Yeah. And
you never know. You might be.
It just wasn't something that I ever had.
Well, that's like Alex.
Yeah,
he didn't know.
No, I kind of wish, you know, you're looking back on it, you kind of wish that you had had a different viewpoint growing up as opposed to what I did.
Well, you need mentors. I mean, you're too young to kind of figure it out.
Yes.
But that's why guys like Alex are great. I think that's a great message.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. If you're just tuning in, guess what?
Hey,
it's the latest ever.
This will
never be topped.
5:41.
It is time for the Hot 5 at 5:41.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on the fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Online at victorricos.com.
Number five.
Well, I am contractually obligated to report to you the Olympic golf scores.
You have to do it.
Contractually obligated. As a matter of fact, NBC contacted me as the Olympics golf
czar.
Well, not a czar.
No, it's a bit much.
Reporter.
There you go.
I'm the keynote reporter. It's Hideki Matsuyama that leads the way in Paris after round one. They are going to play four rounds just like a major or just like a regular PGA tournament. He went 8-under. Xander Schauffele, the American.
Yes.
Right on his heels, 6-under.
And we know in my house it is a house divided between BTJ, Big Time Japanese, and me. And I will say in this instance, pulling from my man Hideki.
Yeah,
I love me some Hideki Matsuyama.
There's no cut. Tom Kim, another American, is lurking 5-under. Scotty Scheffler had a pretty good round. He's 4-under, tied for 6th.
Number 4.
The White Sox losing streak is at 17.
Boy.
Luckily, they are idle tonight. The longest losing streak in Major League Baseball history is 23, set by the 1961 Phillies. This season's Phillies are not playing well. They are just 3-8 since the All-Star break. They will be in Seattle for the first of three beginning tomorrow. The Mariners and Astros are still tied atop the AL West.
And we have a little White Sox stat at some point that we have to throw out there.
Yeah.
Their ineptitude is unbelievable.
Yeah, and it kind of snuck up, too.
Yes.
I mean, they've been bad all year, but they've decided to be really bad now.
They're going all in.
Number 3.
American Simone Biles wins gold in the all-around in Paris. Also, U.S. teammate Suni Lee took the bronze. So Biles is now the only U.S. gymnast to win 6 Olympic golds.
She is the all-time, no one has more medals in gymnastics than her. She is officially, I mean, she always has been for the last bit, but it's like the Brady thing. She has distanced herself. She is the GOAT.
In other Olympics news, the United States took gold in the men's four rowing. Oh. First time we've done that since 1960. And first ever gold for American swimmer Kate Douglas, 200-meter breaststroke.
I can't say I've ever heard of her. Outside of Ledecky, who, again, GOAT status. I mean, that's the story of the Olympics. Every time I turn around, she's winning another medal.
Yeah, she got her 13th medal today.
She is the all-time female swimmer now.
I think she's the most decorated female Olympian, period.
Period. She's officially capped that off. She's amazing.
Number two.
And the rest is football news. We've got the richest offensive line contract in NFL history being handed out today. Bucks extended Tristan Wirfs 5 years, $141 million.
Boutros
got it. $88 million guaranteed.
You saw a couple of O-line contracts come before this, and the idea was people wanted to get their contracts in under Wirfs because they knew that this was going to be the this was going to set the table. This was going to be the
record. Didn't they wait then? Maybe they would get more.
The teams wanted to get it done.
Oh, the teams, yeah.
Teams were like, yeah, let's get something done because people knew this one was coming and this was going to be a record breaker.
Well, Davis Mills is at it again. You've got the Hall of Fame game tonight.
He's out there slinging that wood, man.
He is 10 of 13 with a tutty and 102 yards as the Texans are dominating the Bears 10-0 in Canton.
And former Oregon State Beaver, Tegan, I think, is it Quatoriano?
Yeah,
he caught the touchdown pass from Mills. So
let's go.
Go Beavs.
Come too far together to stop now. Let's do it.
And that's it, baby. Shot it from the rooftops.
America's number one fighting force.
Number one.
My number one fan.
Number one.
Number one.
And number one is that Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert is going to spend the next 2 weeks in a walking boot. He's been diagnosed with plantar fascia in his right foot.
So if you don't know that, some people think that's turf toe and it's not. This is in the heel. It's the tendon and the muscle between your heel and the toes becomes inflamed. So it ends up being like a heel problem. And it's just something that he's going to have to deal with for the rest of the year, unfortunately. It kind of comes and goes and flare up. So, I mean, he'll be fine by week one, but it is something to keep an eye on. It probably will be a factor most of the year.
The doctors are saying that if he rests his footsie enough, now he will be ready for week one. They play the Raiders. The quarterback number two in Los Angeles, in case you're wondering, you know?
It's Easton Stick, is it not?
Easton Stick.
Get excited.
Should have been a baseball player.
Easton Stick action.
Yeah, kidding.
That is a little weird.
Why is he not a baseball player?
Or a hockey player.
Both.
Because Stick
Does Easton make the...
Yeah, Easton makes sticks. Because they would, you know, if he was Easton Bat, Easton Stick would be a hockey player.
Yeah, but he's a stick. Maybe golf.
Maybe golf. Easton doesn't make golf clubs, but they do. They do make hockey sticks.
Victor Rico's Mexican Food brings you the Hot 5 at 5. It's the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Order now at victorricos.com. All right, we're going to have to push Jed Fish Talk and audio to tomorrow. Good thing we have another show tomorrow.
Yes.
But up next, we'll wrap up this hour before we get to the club with a little White Sox talk. Who knew the White Sox would be a topic?
Yeah.
But they are.
When you're this bad, you either, like, when you're bad, we ignore you. But when you're this bad, you actually get talked about.
So we'll get to that next, and then the club on the fam. All right, coming up next in the club, you can power rank the 911 call scumbags.
All right.
I have three of them.
I'm excited.
But first, we were teasing this earlier. Who are the new A's? I was reading that the Tampa Bay Rays, one of the reasons that they sold off half of their good players at the trade deadline was, I guess the scuddy is that that Rays owner, he was trying to sell the team.
Yeah.
He had a deal in place to sell the team, and that fell through.
He wanted out.
And so now, since that fell through, he is saying, dump everyone. I don't want to spend a dime.
I'm not paying it. He's going to be the new Fisher. He's going to be the new John Fisher of the A's. He's like, look, I just bare bones, make as much money as I can. Screw this. He's going major league.
And I'm not sure about any of this in terms of it's just scuttlebutt, you know, but it's the idea that he wanted to move the Rays to Montreal.
Yep.
And he's been trying to do that for a long time, and they've since come out and
got a stadium.
Got a new stadium, and it's going to be in St. Pete.
Which is where he didn't want
and
it.
And that's where he doesn't want it, because that's where they already are now. They're not that good this year, but they have been a good team, and nobody's going to those games.
No.
So he's saying, forget it.
Yep, I'm out.
And so they could very easily be the new A's.
Yes.
Or
this.
It could be the White Sox.
But 17 straight losses.
Yep.
Right? And I saw a thing today that if you doubled the runs in every White Sox game this year, not the opponent's runs, the White Sox runs, you doubled their score, they would be a 500 baseball team.
Oh, dear.
They would be. That's how bad they are.
So what is their run differential then?
I'd have to look it up. But it can't be good considering the fact that you could double their score and they would still be barely 500.
Are you ready for this? This is a ridiculous number.
Oh, my God.
The second worst run differential in baseball is minus 175 by the Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
The White Sox are minus 229.
Ah.
Yeah.
Ah. I can beat that, though.
They would not be in the playoffs if you doubled their run total.
Well, they'd be 500. They wouldn't even be.
No, they wouldn't be a playoff team. That's how bad they are.
I can one-up that. I was looking at this today because you know, the White Sox, they actually won 93 games 2 years ago.
Yeah, it hasn't been that long.
No, they were a good, young, up-and-coming team. They had some young players, and Dylan Cease and some of these guys. They've since had some injuries, traded off some dudes. They are 27-84. They are on pace for a record of 39-123.
Not good.
That is a winning percentage of 24.3%.
That is not what Jerry DePoto is looking for with 54%.
So that, of course, led me down the rabbit hole of who is the worst team ever.
Sure.
And the futility champion is the 1899 Cleveland Spiders.
That doesn't count.
Well, they went 20-134. That's a 130 winning percentage. 130.
It doesn't count.
And the story
is the olden days.
The story is their owner also had the St. Louis Perfectos.
Oh, great name, by the way.
And he thought that, well, it was the old Browns, but they changed it to the Perfectos.
I would buy a St. Louis Perfectos jersey. That's fantastic.
He thought if they sold more tickets, if the team was better in St. Louis, they would sell more tickets there than the in Cleveland with the Spiders.
So they tanked?
So he transferred all his good players to St. Louis.
God, I love that.
So Cleveland had no good players. They were so bad. Do you want to know what their run differential was?
What?
That's why I said I could top the...
Yeah.
So White Sox are at minus 229.
Yeah.
Their run differential that season, again, they played 154 games, was minus 723 runs.
Good Lord.
And right in the butt.
It said, I was looking at this on their Wikipedia page. It said that opposing team, they were so bad that opposing teams refused to travel to Cleveland to play them. So most of their games were road games.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Teams were just like, no, we're not coming there. You suck.
I just love the idea of, like, Jerry Jones buying another NFL team, and obviously this is why you can't have this. And then Jerry Jones trading. Yeah,
you're going across the hall.
It'd be amazing. I love when sports, like back in the day, it was just Thunderdome. There was no rules. There was no anything. You do whatever the hell you want.
Yes, I think this was the rule, or this was
probably
the situation
what led to you can't own two teams.
Yes, exactly. All right, we got to go. Hey, guess what? This is going to be exciting.
Yeah, we're hustling.
We're about to sprint to the studio.
We're making our way back.
For the club.
Yeah.
Because there's a bunch of hots in there.
Pretty much.
No, everything's done here.
Hot chicks room.
So we're going back to the studio. So we'll be in there for the club. Yes, you will power rank the 911 call scumbags. That is next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend.
My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.